Hello and welcome back to the BTL with Reb T, the Better Through Letter, the show where we talk how to make ourselves better through using the Ramban's letter. We are almost at the last lesson. Tonight is the second to last lesson. We're looking at the second to last phrase before we come to the epilogue, and then we'll sign off, God willing, for the summer from this show before we come back to the PAL season 4, Mitzvah Shembli Neder, in early September. So let's look with the help of a letter for the ages, the Art School wonderful book with the words and the expositions of Rabbi Avram Chaim Foyer. Tonight's phrase, Laman Tatzliach B'chol Derechecha, V'sizke L'olam Haba Hatzafun LaTzadigim, so that you may succeed in your ways and merit the world to come that lies hidden for the righteous. As a side note, a lot of us think that the reward and the intention that Hashem wants to give us is in this world. You think about the question, the ever-present question throughout history, why do righteous people suffer and why do the bad prosper? We think about this question, we see circumstances. Of course, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. We don't understand how people are affected, how things are worded. But the way things look in general, the way that it appears to us, even though we're supposed to be Dalnikov's Chos, it doesn't seem that everyone gets their righteous due, everyone gets their reward. But we have to realize Ha'olam has a prozor b'fnei Ha'olam Haba. Pirkei Avos explains that this is only an antechamber to the real banquet hall, which is the world to come. Ha'olam has a doma l'erev Shabbos. Ha'olam Haba doma l'Shabbat. This world is like Erev Shabbos. Hat came atzmacha b'erev Shabbos k'day she'yachol b'Shabbos. You have to work in this world. You have to prepare in this world. Prepare an erev Shabbos just like you would for a Shabbos so you could eat on the Shabbos. If you don't do what you can in this world, how are you going to have the reward for the world to come? So if we remember and we understand that the real reward is in the next world, maybe that would be a little more understandable, a little more okay for us to understand and to accompany ourselves and to try to finagle and to try to understand. We also realize that Pirkei Avos explains to us, Yafasha achas b'shuva ma'asim tovim ba'olam hazeh mikol chaye ha'olam haba v'yafasha achas b'nachat ruach mikol chaye ha'olam hazeh. It's better to be in this world, better 1 hour of tshuva, repentance and good deeds than all of the world to come. But better 1 hour of spiritual bliss in the world to come than all of the world of this world's pleasures and enjoyments, because we can't understand the difference between this world and this world except for theoretically. We understand this world is for action, this world is for movement, this world is for doing things, and the next world is for the understanding of reaping the rewards. This world is action, the next world is stagnation. You're only at the level you get to, and you stay at whatever level you got to as a result of your work in this world. You can't move up or down in the next world unless a descendant or someone does good deeds for you, but you yourself can't change your position. Whatever position you get is as a result of this world. So this world is for action, the next world is for reaction, or whatever you can reap the reward. So whenever you do good ways, if you do good things in this world, you can merit the world to come, the rewards that'll come in the next world. As we conclude this letter, as Ramban concludes it, he's talking about the inner workings of the righteous man's mind. What is the attitude a person should have to get the piety and humility? Ramban explains a person must simply say to himself, I will reserve my enjoyment for the world to come. This world is not real pleasure. It's too fleeting. It's a life of change, a life of work. Shabbos gives us a glimpse of the world to come. Ein olam hava, the Zmiros on Shabbos explained to us. It's a little piece of the world to come, and we hope Mashiach comes sooner, speedily, Behemei Rav Yumeini, with the building of the third base of Mikdash. That can be really Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh, and we hope that comes soon also. But the Talmud explains in Erevin, Hayom La'asosim Amachar L'Kabaschar, like we mentioned before, today is the time for commandments performance, because tomorrow is the time for their payment. You do it now, and the real payment comes in the next world. Deferred payment is the essential attitude, the essential mental attitude of the righteous. Instant gratification, they realize, is ultimately empty, and that's such a crazy thing nowadays, such a crazy concept that's really out there, unfortunately, too much. Everyone wants everything right now, right now, right now. You click everything, it comes right away. No work, no effort. A lot of times people don't want to put a lot of work and effort into things. You just look at how so many relationships fall apart, partnerships and whatnot. People don't put enough work into it, but you realize things need the work, and then everything comes about because of the work you put in, Lefum Tzar Agra, especially related to Torah, as Pirkei Avos explains, the more work you put in, the more effort you put in, the more reward will come. The Talmud also points out in Kedushin Schar Mitzvah Bahai Al Maleka, the reward for mitzvahs is not to be found in this world. The Vilna Gaon comments, Deleka B'maylash L'ishtalume, for nothing in this world is adequate enough to serve as fair payment. There's nothing that you could get, even the most wonderful material things, even 4,000 children, even whatever you could think of as fair payment is really not the best. The best is really to bask in the light of Hashem, literally to be tachat kanfei Hashchina, literally being below the throne of Hashem that only could come in the next world, hopefully after 120 years. Rav Yitzchak Ziv Soloveitchik said about Rav Aryeh Leib of Metz, author of the classic work Shagas Aryeh, all their lives, Rav Aryeh Leib and his pious wife lived in dire poverty, but at the age of 70, the Shagas Aryeh assumed the position of Rav in the prosperous and prestigious Kehillah of Metz. Soon after their arrival in Metz, the Rebbetzin hosted a dinner in honor of the community leaders. The Kehillah was considered enough to deliver the food for the event to the Rav's home. Included were delicacies which the Rebbetzin had never before seen. She was puzzled by a bag of white granular crystals which she assumed to be a special dish. After the meal, the Rebbetzin served the sweet crystals, which people told her was called sugar. Can you imagine? After enjoying some of the delicious sugar, the Rebbetzin approached the Rav and burst into tears. "Woe unto us," she said. "All our lives we took no pleasure from this world, so we could fully enjoy the world to come. But look, now we have faltered. We have tasted our portion in the world to come. In this world, just the fact that they used sugar granules, they didn't even know what sugar was. Can you imagine?" The Medrash points out in Bamidbar Rabbah that those who seek gratification in this world are condemned to live lives of frustration and disappointment. Rabbi Doste relates, "I was once invited to a sumptuous banquet hosted by a prominent and prosperous idol worshiper who demanded that every single person in our city attend the enormous lavish feast which he was prepared with unsurpassed grandeur, which he has prepared with unsurpassed grandeur. The elegant tables had every possible food, every delicacy in the whole world. The host was beaming with pride as he boasted there was nothing missing from his banquet tables. But all of a sudden, someone discovered that a certain type of exotic nut was not to be found on the table. In an instant, the host's facial expression was utterly transformed. His features were twisted into contortions of fury and wrath. He ranted and he fumed, and then he grabbed the banquet table, overturned it, and smashed everything to pieces. I asked the man why he was so angry, and he replied, 'Rabbi, you always taught, and I believe you, that this world is for us idolaters to enjoy, whereas the world to come is reserved for you Jews. Now I see I cannot enjoy everything in this world, so I became angry.'" So Ramban is instructing his son and instructing all of us in the letter how to achieve peace of mind and tranquility. It's necessary for him to emphasize that thought of reward should be reserved for the future, for to expect reward and gratification here in this world is sure to lead to frustration. Also, the Ramban in his commentary in Vayikra teaches that the intent of the heart is the prime consideration in how Hashem looks at man's deeds. As men's motivation differs, so too their rewards differ. You should know that man's reward for observance of the commandments is in accordance with the heart's intention. He who observes the commandments for the purpose of receiving reward will accordingly be blessed in this world with many years of life, much riches and glory. He who observes the commandments for the purpose of being rewarded in heaven will attain his desire as well. His soul will come to rest in the world to come. However, the person who observes with no thought of reward at all, only out of a sense of love of Hashem, however, will attain blessings both in this world and in the world to come. So do observances, do mitzvahs, do chesed, do good deeds with no thought of reward, but out of a sense of love for Hashem. That's the best way. That's the key of how to get blessings in this world and the next. The Chovos HaVavos points out in Shar Bitachon, two types of good deeds. Some, like the duties of the heart, are concealed and known only to Hashem. Other good deeds entail physical action and therefore are apparent to all. For fulfillment of good needs which are visible, Hashem gives a reward which is visible in this world. But fulfillment of good deeds in secret, Hashem reserves and hides away the reward in the world to come. The Medrash also points out in Shemos Rabbah a story of Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, who was so poor he had nothing to eat for Shabbos once. He went to a secluded area, poured his heart out to Hashem. He was answered with given a precious jewel. Rabbi Shimon sold the jewel and purchased his Shabbos needs. Very famous story. When the rabbi bought brought all of this home. His good wife inquired, "Where is all of this from?" The rabbi responds, "From the sustenance provided by Hashem." His wife was adamant, "If you don't tell me exactly where this is from, I will not eat from it." And so Rabbi Shimon told her the story, how Hashem answered his prayers with his precious jewel from Hashem. And the wife stood firm, "I will not taste a thing on Shabbos unless you promise to return the jewel after Shabbos is over." "Why do you insist on this?" the husband asked, puzzled. "Why do I have to do this?" She said, "Don't you realize this gem was removed from the table of delights which was prepared for you in the hereafter in Olam Haba? Do you really want to empty your eternal table? Do you want it to be partially empty?" So the rabbi considered this and discussed it with his master, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the redactor of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda comforted his disciple, "Tell your wife she should not fear. If taking this gem will leave an empty gap in your table, I promise to fill it in the loss with the rewards amassed for me on my table." Rabbi Shimon told this to the wife, but she still refused. She came before the Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and said, "How can you propose to transfer reward from one table to another in the hereafter, in Olam Haba? You know that in the world to come, one tzaddik cannot see another tzaddik. Each and every one dwells in a bliss entirely of his own." Rabbi Yehuda relented. Rabbi Shimon returned the precious gem so not to lose any of his reward. We're also going to go a minute over, sorry about that. Sefer HaYashar illustrates the incomprehensibility of the world to come to everyone who dwells in the earth. This world is like a cave buried deep in the ground, cut off from the surface. The men who inhabit this vault know nothing beyond their walls and the dark tunnels. Their concept of reality is based on the restricted environment. Imagine how amazed, overwhelmed they would feel if they emerge from the confinement of the cave and sees vast stretches of land, soaring mountains, rolling seas, the wonders of nature that Hashem made. How would they be dazzled by the brilliance of the sun and the stars and the endless heaven? Humans who are on this earth, all of us, are like cavemen who have no concept of the real reality of the world to come, how vast, how great it really is. It's only when man passes away after 120 years, we should be zochah, that he emerges from his terrestrial cave, beholds the endless splendor of the real world, the world to come. Remember, all the rewards, all the good things really come in the next world. You do as much as you can, gathering all those precious gems, those precious diamonds in this world, doing mitzvahs, doing Torah, spreading Hashem's word, and hopefully Hashem will bless us to have beautiful rewards after 120 years, and we should really see Mashiach and the building of the third base major sooner than that, so that we all feel Me'ein Olam Haba here on this world. Join us next time as we finish up the BTL here in the summer special mini-series tomorrow night, and I'm your host, Reb T.